Times the Lord gave us indications of the resurrection of Christ. In the fourth chapter of Genesis already, we have Cain who slew Abel. Cain was not able to offer an acceptable sacrifice from the fruits of the ground. Abel was able to offer an acceptable sacrifice by the blood sacrifice of the animal. So Cain was jealous of Abel and slew him. That was a foreshadow, because we're told that the blood of Abel, the blood of Christ, speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was a type of the blood of Christ. But Abel was not resurrected, no. But instead it says that God appointed Seth instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. That would picture for us, without people knowing it at the time, that there would be something following the Abel who gave his life. So Seth pictures for us our resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ. I suppose we shouldn't just leave it there, because there were several generations of Cain. And when we get down to Lamech, he's the first one of his generation to recognize that the slaying of Abel was what got them into trouble. And he says, "Truly, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, Lamech will be avenged 70 and 7-fold. So, Israel is being brought back to the land, and when they recognize that the slaying of Christ was what got them into the problem in the diaspora, then they will be fully forgiven. The children of the resurrection will prosper. And neither was Seth the last picture in the type, because to him also there was born a son, and that son, Enosh, it was in his days that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. In the 1,000-year kingdom of Christ, people will begin again to call upon the name of the Lord. In Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac, they went to the Mount of Moriah, where Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son at God's request. When God says, "Okay, it is enough that I know that you will follow me." And so it was like a picture of receiving Isaac back from the dead, to picture the one greater than Isaac, the son of promise, our Lord. And then there was Joseph. His life in Egypt, first, he was a slave, pardon me, to Potiphar, captain of the guard. And he rose in authority in the house of Potiphar until he was falsely accused and imprisoned. But even in prison, he rose in authority. A little history, and that is, he went into prison at the end of the reign of one pharaoh, Sesostris III, you can forget that. And almost right away, that pharaoh died and was replaced by another one, Amenemhes III. You probably won't remember that either, but that's not important. But it was under the new king then that he rose in authority and undoubtedly a new captain of the guard. And then he interpreted dreams. Two of the dreams had to do with the grape juice, the fruit of the vine, the grapes that were squeezed into the cup and given to Pharaoh, and then the baker's dream of the bread. The bread and the fruit of the vine, the cup, picturing again the memorial emblems that Jesus introduced on the eve of the Passover. And then Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh and was made number two ruler in all of Egypt. And we can see the correspondence. God's first work was the Word, Jesus, in his pre-human existence. And he grew in authority as more and more things were created, working between the Father and Jesus, or the Logos. But then he was humbled or humiliated, being brought back down to earth as a human being. But still he rose in authority during the 3.5 years of his ministry until he gave his life. And then he was resurrected, and ever after, number two being in the entire universe. A picture, again, of Jesus' resurrection was given already in Joseph in Egypt, almost 2,000 years earlier. And now, there was another man by the name of George Friedrich Handel, and I think that name is a good deal more familiar than was Lanny Wolff. So we won't go into that, but we'll hear from the trio again on Thine Be the Glory.
Now liveth, death has sky. Thine be the glory, risen and conquering sun. Endless is the victory, now wounded at the swan. Oh, how we need thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors, deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen and conquering sun. Endless is the victory, thou wounded.
Now we turn to the 22nd Psalm. It gives us a lot of things to prophesy Jesus in the 22nd Psalm, and it opens that way also. In the first verse, it begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does that sound like Matthew 27:46? If you can imagine back to the time when Jesus was dying on the cross and the Heavenly Father momentarily left him, you can imagine what a shock it would be. And perhaps as he uttered these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He realized these were the words of the prophetic 22nd Psalm. Then, afterwards, he could see himself fulfilling these verses in the 22nd Psalm, so that later he could say, it is finished. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Dropping now down to the sixth verse. But I am a scarlet worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Some have suggested the thought of the scarlet worm as appropriate to Jesus, whose blood is the blood of salvation. Verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, commit thyself unto Jehovah, let him deliver him, let him rescue him, seeing he delighteth in him. We turn to Matthew 27:39-44 to see the fulfillment. And they passed by, railing on him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou art the Son of God. Come down from the cross. In like manner also the chief priests, there were two of them, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe on him. Do you believe them? He trusteth on God. Let him deliver him now if he desireth him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers also that were crucified with him cast upon him the same reproach. At least one of them did. Let's see, drop down to the 11th verse. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Not broken, but they are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, a company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Matthew 27:35. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments among them, casting lots. I may count all my bones. We turn now to John chapter 19. 19 verses 33 to 36. John 19:33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Albeit one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there cameth out blood and water. And he that hath seen the hath borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye also may believe. For these things came to pass that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. They look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. Matthew 27:35 again. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments among them, casting lots. But be thou not far off, O Jehovah, O thou my succor, haste thee to help me. I will declare thy name, this is now down to the 22nd verse, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee. Paul comments on this in Hebrews 2:12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing thy praise. Ye that fear Jehovah, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. Again, Hebrews 2:12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing thy praise. Of thee cometh my praise in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before him that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise Jehovah that seek after him. Let your heart live forever. And he was raised forevermore. Verse 30, a seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted unto Jehovah for his generation. Offer a suggestion on that. Remember in Matthew 24, he says that all these things shall be fulfilled, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. The faithful church are all sons of the same Father. And here it says in Psalms 22:30, A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted unto Jehovah for his generation. That the church will not pass away until all these things at least begin to be fulfilled. And the last verse, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that it is finished. Again, John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his breath. All this was foreknown by our Heavenly Father 1,000 years before Jesus came to this earth. We are not 100 years old, but God foreknew it. It was in his plan 1,000 years before Christ. We turn to Isaiah 53. We'll read these 12 verses. Who hath believed our message, and to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, as the world sees things. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We see the reason for which Jesus came, to be a human, to die even as Adam did, but to take Adam's place in death. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that is before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Probably of all of the animals that we're familiar with. If an animal feels threatened, you hear from him. Except not the sheep. A frightened sheep is quiet. The sheep shearers sometimes are a little careless. And as they shave off the wool, they sometimes shave off half a foot or a foot of skin along with it. The sheep alone utters not a word, not a sound. As a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so Jesus opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. He was buried in a rich man's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. Although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, a sin offering. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand after his resurrection. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many. That's the whole purpose of his ransom sacrifice, isn't it? To justify many, to acquit from the Adamic penalty. And he shall bear their iniquities. By virtue of his death, he provides the ransom. But the manner of his death, dying on a tree, cursed be he that dieth on a tree or hangeth on a tree, God used that to atone for the law. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. How many? 20 billion? 30 billion? However many people have ever lived. Jesus Christ died once for all. Therefore, should not all benefit? We are grateful. And then we see in Luke 23, we'll start with verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour. Think now of last Monday, the 14th of Nisan. It was now about the sixth hour, and a darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun's light failing, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. One could then see inside to the Most Holy, just as the way of the Christians was about to be opened into heaven itself. And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the breath. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the multitudes that came together to this sight, when they beheld the things that were done, returned, smiting their breasts. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed with him from Galilee stood afar off, seeing these things. And behold, a man named Joseph, who was a counselor, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to the council and deed. A man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb that was hewn in stone where never yet a man had lain. And it was the day of the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, and the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and beheld the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came unto the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It was no longer there. And we continue. And it came to pass, While they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were affrighted and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remembered how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, told these things unto the apostles. And these words appeared in their sight as idle talk, as they disbelieved them. But Peter arose, and ran unto the tomb, and stooping, and looking in, he seeth the linen cloths by themselves, and he departed to his home, wondering at that which was come to pass. And we continue. Let us think what it would have been like if I had been there, if you had been there, walking away to the village of Emmaus. Behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. Yeah, that doesn't help us too much today. 60 furlongs, well, a furlong's an eighth of a mile, so about 7.5 miles. That would be a pretty decent walk, wouldn't it? The fortunate thing is that it was near full moon, so they would still be able to see no longer how long it took. And they communed with each other of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Would you or would I have suspected that a stranger would be Jesus? It wouldn't have occurred to me. And see, he said unto them, What communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, Dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem and not know the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped that it would be he who should redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things came to pass. Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, having been early at the tomb, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the tomb and found it even so, as the women had said. But him they saw not. And he said unto them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. We read some of that earlier. Behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go further. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. Remember the hymn, Abide with me, 'tis eventide? And he went to abide with them. And it came to pass, when he had sat down with them to meat, he took the bread and blessed, and breaking it, gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Jesus was not recognized by the physical appearance. Jesus was recognized by the things which he did. Similarly, this is the way that we should look for our Lord Jesus, by the things which he does. Let these things be impressed upon our minds and upon our hearts. So in Jesus' life, we see first the begettal and birth, then at Jordan, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, then the crucifixion, then the resurrection, and then the ascension. His baptism at Jordan was necessary. It wasn't sufficient to bring the Holy Spirit to the Christian. It was necessary. Then second, his crucifixion to provide the substitutionary atonement for Adam. It was necessary, but even that was not sufficient, because the one who owned the price was at that point dead, but not for long. Then comes the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:14 tells us this also was necessary. If Christ hath not been raised, then is our preaching vain. Your faith also is vain. But yet, while he was here, he had not presented the price to God the Father. We turn to Hebrews 9. Verse 24. The last step was Jesus' ascension to the Father so that he could pay the price. This condition was necessary and then sufficient. These four. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like the tabernacle or the temple, like in pattern to the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us. We'll sing now hymn number 168, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Alleluia, what a Savior.
Verse 4.
Lifted up was he to die, it is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven this song we'll sing. Alleluia, what a Savior.
In a moment, we will conclude with 111. let's think now for a moment in our post-resurrection reflections. Our Heavenly Father foreshadowed the resurrection of Jesus Christ 4,000 years ago at the time of Cain and Abel and Seth. 2,000 years ago with Abraham and Isaac on the mountain of Moriah. A couple of hundred years later in Joseph, being brought up from prison to be the number two ruler in the entire nation of Egypt, just as Jesus was resurrected to be the number two ruler in the entire universe forevermore. Psalms 22 has given us detail by detail so many of the things which happened in Jesus' life and at his death. Isaiah 53, the Man of Sorrows chapter, shows us what he was to die for the sin that condemned us one and all, that we might be released, each in his own order. And then in the Gospels, we read how Jesus culminated it at the cross. Cursed be he that hangeth on a tree. Yet he was resurrected. In our post-memorial reflections, let us keep this in mind. Our God foresaw what was necessary for the human race to have the experience with sin and death, to realize what sin really does, and to learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and to want to turn from it and have nothing more to do with it ever after. And for this, Jesus was resurrected, ascended into heaven to present the merit to God on behalf of us and ultimately on behalf of all, to bring back the human race from the sordid condition after having learned the experience of what sin causes and want to purge it for 1,000 years and then ever after. This is the true meaning, then, of Jesus' resurrection. Let us conclude with hymn number 111.
Gives. He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives, who bought me with his blood. He lives, my hungry soul to feed. He lives, my help in time of need. He lives and grants me daily strength. Through him I soon shall conquer death. Then all his glories I'll declare, that all the world his life may share.
Our dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy wonderful and most holy name. We thank thee above all for the gift of thy dear Son as our Redeemer. We thank thee for the prospects. We thank thee for the promises. Help us to walk accordingly now, and also to look forward to joining with Christ for the blessing of all the families of the earth. We ask that thou be with us for the remaining portion of the day. Remember thy dear ones throughout the world. Complete thy church that thy kingdom may soon come. We ask in Jesus' precious and most worthy name. Amen. Well, one more thing I might mention, and that is not just notes for the first meeting, but also suggested questions and thoughts for the second meeting, which is 1 Peter chapter 3. So these are available.
Experiment with this.
Okay.
Because the way it was picking. All right, now I want you to.
Good thinking, Brother Jim. Went in for a lot of good scriptures which outline in prophecy what was beholding to him.
Thank you.
Nothing took God by surprise.
And your mic is still on.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Sound better,
I'm just
okay, let's see. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Or as they say in Congress, 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, 4 billion.
Very nice. Wonderful thoughts.
Oh, well, if they came from the scriptures, those are the wonderful thoughts.
Oh yeah, they're familiar with each other. That's why I kept it off all the way.
Yeah.
Let me try one more. Hold
on. Well, let's see. If you talk softly. Mm-hmm.
Which I tend to do.
Which he tends to do, and that's not good.
That may be too far. Yeah, you might want it up there, then. If you leave the other podium off altogether.
Okay.
Now I'm here and there.
Okay, good.
Say
okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the same time as the lapel.
Well, he was going back and forth because of what was happening. Hey, when we had that mic on,
then this should be off.
We were getting feedback on between the two.
Because right underneath there just creates havoc. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's good. So now I know where it's at, right underneath the knob. Okay. I'll take that.
All right.
Thank you. Okay.
This one too, it's still on. Make sure you're
that's my fault.
Got to turn this off before.
So this one is still. I'm not going to turn this
that
one off.
Yeah.
I'll let you.
Okay.
With that one.
Got it.
Test.